Hey guys, welcome to Word of the Bay podcast. My name is Kyle.
I am Nick.
And I'm Anthony.
Let me get this out of the way real quick. I'm dealing with some sinus issues like I've never dealt with before in my life. Like, I never before have I had like both nostrils like completely blocked up. So bad times right now for Kyle.
Wait, both?
Both. Oh, dude. It's like when I
usually just have one.
No, when I swallow, my ears pop. It's awful. So
that is disgusting. You and you're a trooper for doing tonight.
Well, just an FYI, I just want to put it out there. You're gonna hear me if I sniffle, if you hear anything gross, feel free to tweet me. I'm at Kyle WOTB on Twitter, so feel free to tweet me about that if you'd like.
You know, it's funny, we took a week off and Kyle just came back sick.
I know.
So,
oh dude, yeah. I took 11 days off of work, and the first day back at work I'm like sick. I'm like, god damn it, this would happen like now, like right at the end of the vacation. Yeah. But yeah, it is what it is. I had a great vacation. I hope everybody had a great Christmas and New Year's
break,
and
whatever you call it.
New Year's, Christmas.
Yeah. It was semi-prosperous for our local sports teams, but I think this episode we're just going to focus on the Bucks, right? This is our season wrap up show.
Yeah, this is a Bucks season wrap up.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about.
We haven't
talked about him.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to take a whole show.
Yeah, it is. We haven't talked since the Saints game, as I recall.
And, yeah, it's been about that long, I think.
Yeah, it has.
We didn't do a rapid recap either.
No. So. Oh, yeah. We have a lot of holidays. Holidays, everybody, you know.
It was Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Plus, Anthony's got... He was in town, so he had to drive down here. I'm like, I don't want to deal with all that. Like, let's just do it normal style. But, you know, here we are. Here we are at the end of the season. And I feel really good. Feel really good about this season. I can't explain it. I don't want to say I can't explain it, but just have a lot of warm, fuzzy feelings about my Buccaneers as we go.
It was a nice recap, you know, or not a recap. It was a nice cap to a season. It's always nice when you end the season and you're still in the playoff hunt when your game is over.
We were right up to the bitter end.
It was, I guess the best word to describe it is kind of bittersweet. Because it feels like we left some stuff on the table, but I'm happy with it overall, I think.
We most definitely left things on the table, but it's like that final game. It's like the not only did like the planets and stars have to align, but like a black hole would have had to open in the center of the earth and like sucked Mike Glennon through. He had to come back as like a titan and like
something like we had a sacrificial giraffe.
Yeah, just like all kinds of crazy shit had to happen. But we were in the playoff race up until the final week of the season, and like what more could you ask for after a six? What was it? What were we last year? Six and.
No, 6-10.
Were we 6-10 last year? Yeah,
we went from 2-14 to 6-10 to now 9-7.
Yeah,
that's a hell of a progression.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel like that's a win. That's a win in my book. As I famously stated on this podcast, 9-7, I would suck 1,000 wieners for male wieners. By the way,
wieners. Like, is there a female wiener?
Yeah, not just any wiener. Male wieners.
We were one win away this year from if you think about it, adding four wins from since that 2-14 year each year. So we would have went from 2-14 to 6-10 to 10-6. But of course the Bucks can't do anything right. I mean, they can do something right, but there's always that caveat.
I heard
they only won three plus this year.
I heard a crazy, I don't know if you call it a stat, but just a little crazy little factoid that it had the Bucks of reversed their last two games, then we would be in the playoffs. So if we beat the Saints and lost to the Panthers, we'd be in the playoffs right now.
Well, fuck.
I know, doesn't that just piss you off?
You know what was funny? I looked at the playoff scenarios for this last week, and I was like, oh, this is... And then I saw the tie, and I was like, oh, that's what everybody's... That's why everybody's already counting us out. I was like, all these teams could win. It can happen.
You know, the funny part about it was that they were tied like until late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so. But Dallas rested their starters, so it didn't matter at that point.
Yeah.
Then they didn't give it. Yeah, then it doesn't fucking matter because they don't have anything to win or play for.
Yeah, I wish we were in that boat.
That's true. All of a sudden, the Falcons are like a legit team, and Matt Ryan's an MVP candidate. Like, we're like, what? How?
Jeff Fisher kept us out of the playoffs and then got fired.
There's only so much magic in the NFL each season. And apparently Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons took on most of it.
Yep.
You are correct. Well,
so I think we should run down our MVP for the season. And then maybe our biggest disappointment.
Oh, I've got I can do my biggest disappointment right away. I can I have my.
Well, let's do MVP first. How about that?
Well, hold on, wait. Which do you want to go that route first? Because there's always a lot of awards, and Word of the Bay is going to be no different. So, who's your outstanding rookie?
Okay.
Yeah. So let's work up to MVP. You know, yeah. We'll
okay,
I like that.
We'll work
I like
up
that,
to
yeah.
MVP.
Because I still got to think about who my MVP is. I got a couple of guys in mind, but you know, I put
this in the group chat before the fucking, I didn't even prepare. So.
I know. Well, for sure, I have my most disappointing player, like typical of me. But, I mean, I don't know who else you can give the Rookie of the Year award to other than Noah Spence on the defensive line. Like, he had
games. Okay, well, that's everybody's choice. I was just going to give us something to talk about prior to that.
Yeah, yeah. There were moments in games where he appeared to take over, specifically that Seattle game where they just had no answer to him. He had an impressive rookie season there. And I'm very excited to see how he does next year. So yeah, Noah Spence
playing through that bad shoulder.
Yep.
If the rest of our line can stay a little healthier, or at least the majority of the line stay, meaning Gerald McCoy. But if we can get constant pressure from other places, he's going to look that much better next year.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. I mean. I think one thing that's being overlooked a lot right now is the fact that our defensive line is getting older. Like, we got a bunch of old dudes on our defensive line. Believe it or not, Gerald McCoy, he's getting up there in years. So
he is one of them.
Yeah. So, you know.
Wasted his fucking prime.
Oh. Are you some kind of Oklahoma Sooner fan? That, okay, I'm sorry.
Wasting his prime.
Wasting him away. Best years of his life. Wasted on fucking the Bucks.
How dare us?
Yeah, I'm just excited to see how he does. If should we bolster the line a little bit, and maybe draft a couple guys? I just like, well, just with another year under his belt, like, what is possible? That's exciting to me.
Yeah,
there's
some tremendous on the defense.
Mm-hmm. Tremendous upside.
What do you think's next, Nick? You want to do offensive player of the year?
I was going to say, yeah, we can break it down as, I mean, I think the caveat should be is we don't have to do offensive, defensive, and I mean.
Let's do that. I think that sounds fun to me because I got my offensive, my offensive player of the year.
Okay, so Kyle, if you have your offense, we'll lead with you. Go ahead with your offensive.
My offensive player of the year, who else could it be besides the guy, Mike Evans, as the offensive player of the year? He is arguably one of the faces of the franchise. I don't know what else you can say about the guy. Mike Evans, dude. All day.
I'm going to go with Ali Marpet because without his, I mean, you got to admit, for a second-year guy, the steadiest of offensive linemen this year for us.
Yeah, definitely. Started every offensive snap this season. Him and Donovan Smith.
That's huge. And whether it was Peyton, Peyton Barber, Jaquizz Rodgers, Sims, Doug Martin, whoever was running it, whatever it was, if it was Anthony, we would have gotten a few yards per carry out of him because he was running behind Marpet.
Not sure.
He's
about
my
that.
Offensive MVP this year.
Anthony under protest.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one.
He says, "Wait a fucking minute. Wait, why is that? Why?
I have the cutting ability of an 80-year-old man. You don't want to see that."
Anthony, who's your offensive?
My offensive MVP is Cameron Brate.
Oh, Cam Brate, good one.
Yeah. In terms of like red zone touchdowns and. Reliable hands on third down and just all around good player. And I'm sad for the way his season ended late with the injury, but he'll be back strong next year and hopefully with another tight end to help him out. But yeah, I really, really think he was he caught a bunch of big passes for us this year. He was consistently good the entire year.
Yeah, he was.
Anthony, that's the pick I would have thought of if I had thought of him. So good job.
Honorable mention, of course, goes to thanks, bro. Honorable mention to Jameis Winston, of course, had a better year. It has shown improvement, and you know, you got to be excited about where he's going.
Sets a buck record for touchdown passes in a year that we think he had an all right year. So point that out there.
In terms of just like he's the fucking quarterback, of course, all the attention is going to be paid to Jameis. So I mean, you got to give love to the other players. So I mean, in terms of that,
I give it to him for doing well with not a lot to work with, for sure.
Yeah, I mean that's the one big takeaway from this year is just like he didn't have a whole hell of a lot to work with on the offensive side of the ball as far as guys to throw to, guys to hand off the ball off to, and guys to block for him. So, you know, it's kind of understandable that he didn't have like a stellar year, you know, what have you.
No, quote unquote stellar. But my honorable mention is Adam Humphries because he established probably everything under 10 yards for us.
Yeah, dude. Third down was Mike Evans, but I mean, just he was good on screens. He was good. He was just great in the slot. He went up and got balls in the middle. Just yeah, the dude. I
no fear.
I love having him on the team. Love that guy. Hump. You got an honorable mention, Anthony, or should we move on?
Nah, I don't.
Yeah, all right.
So defense, right?
Yeah, defense. This is where we're gonna have a lot of. I think we're gonna have a lot of diversity here on defense.
Oh yes,
because defense was the best unit of the team this year. Holy shit, man! The defense is back in Tampa, finally. And if Mike Smith doesn't take that job in Jacksonville, then you gotta think that we're only gonna get better from here. So.
He's totally taking that job.
Oh, well, I don't know.
He gone.
No, isn't Tom Coughlin in talks?
Yeah, but Mike Smith is the younger option and has. I mean, Coughlin's. They both have connections, but I don't know. I'm just talking out of my ass. Let's move
on.
Dude,
I hope not, man. That would suck. Mike Smith is.
I'm glad you embraced that.
Yeah,
he's like the architect behind the fucking defense here, man.
It'll be fine. They have the same talent. You just got to bring in the right guy.
Yeah.
Phillips.
I'm going to give my MVP on the defensive side of the ball to, you know, a guy that I've watched work for many years on the Buccaneers and who doesn't always get a lot of respect from, even myself included. I think I might have been harsh on this guy in the past, but you got to give it up for Gerald McCoy for constantly being there in the middle, breaking up those, you know, getting that pressure in the middle, like timing that snap count. I always say, like, as when I always watch Gerald McCoy, he's the guy that I watch on defense, like first off, and like I always notice what, like, how he gets off the ball, and more often than not,
we always talk about a snap count. Yeah. Oh, he always has a snap count down.
If he's off the ball first, then something good is about to happen, and you know that's why I always watch him. So, God damn it, Gerald McCoy had a Pro Bowl year this year. So he's a big reason why we were able to get so much pressure on the quarterback because he was able to be so disruptive up the middle that he commanded those double teams that he allowed guys like Noah Spence and Robert Ayers to get to the quarterback. So, I think he is the cog that makes a lot of what we did right this season run. So Gerald McCoy is my defensive MVP for this year.
That's a good one. I'm not going to lie. It was between him and my choice, Lavonte David. And as a linebacker who can be both a threat to the quarterback and to the receiver, he defined being dynamic this year for the Bucs. He had 147 tackles, 3 sacks, and 3 interceptions. That's great. That's a nice spread. He's had his hat on pretty much every ball that was any part important this year. You see, he's deflected a few balls that were picked off in important parts of games.
Yeah, he
I know.
Go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I was just about to say, I know Gerald McCoy doesn't get the respect, but Levante David gets a lot of praise, but always as a second fiddle to a like Luke Kuechly or somebody else. And I'm not saying that he's on the same par, but this year was a big step forward for him being one of the elite linebackers in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm always very critical of him, and I thought that this year he kind of proved me wrong in a lot of senses of just, you know, he's able to be at a lot of different places in the field. Go ahead, Anthony.
He had such a good rookie year that he set this bar, think, that it's so hard to reach that on a consistent basis. Like, he was getting picks. I mean, he was forcing tons of fumbles. Like, just one of those years where every break he just seemed to catch it. And like,
yeah, he was every highlight.
But he's still really good. Like, and he's definitely him and Quan Alexander, who was going to be my pick, but I thought of somebody else. But you know, that's a good linebacker tandem for a long time for us.
Who's your pick? Is it
my pick is somebody a little off the board. He kind of came on strong towards the end of the year, and he shored up a position. My pick is Keith Tandy, the Tandy Man Can.
Ooh.
Yeah, on the back end. When Kantu went down. Yeah, see? I didn't.
That's nice. The
Tandy Man Can.
Yeah, I didn't think that when Kanti went down, and Conti's not very good, but I thought we were really going to be fucked on the back end for the rest of the year when he started getting injuries. But Keith Tandy came in and played amazingly.
Yes.
And I don't want to say that he's like the safety of the future for us or anything, but I definitely think he's a good like rotational piece.
I was about to say he's definitely one of the safeties of the present.
And we have a decent player on the back end now. We have one guy back there that we can count on, but I don't think he's the safety going
streaky.
Well, he had a really good year for us.
He's 27, and you like to think maybe that maybe he's found the right system to thrive in Mike Smith's defense, and that's what we're seeing here. I really hope so, because you see his impact on the field. He in this last game, he stripped the fucking ball away from what was it, Ted Ginn or Kelvin Benjamin, one of those dudes. Like, he muscled the ball away from him in an interception, and the guy just seems to have a very high football IQ, just a very good understanding of where he needs to be in the field and what's coming to him.
There's three ticks that he has for going for him. He's got great hands. For a defensive player, especially in the secondary, you have to have hands.
Yep.
As you just alluded to, he's got a very good football IQ. But he turns his hips so well. He goes after players that are much smaller, much faster than him, but you never see him take a bad break. Like, Conte was always had his hips in the wrong way. He's like, oh, Conte got burnt.
Yep. Yeah, we didn't see that a whole lot of that in the second half of the season, did we? Like, there wasn't a lot of those big, like, oh, fuck, there's that play. Like, obvious safety, like, no safety help over the top. And Verner got burned, like, one of the two. Like,
my other honorable mention was Brent Grimes, by the way.
I thought you were going to say Brent Grimes, too. Yeah, but Brent Grimes had a great year this year.
I've got a pretty unique honorable mention for defense, and hear me out. Pat Anger.
It's Brian Anger.
Because...
Yeah, Brian Anger.
I thought it was Pat.
No, it's Brian, yeah.
No, you're thinking of Pat McAfee, I think. You've combined them.
He played like
punter.
He played Pat McAfee. All right, so Brian Anger. Anywho, I know he just signed an extension. I'm really happy about that. I'm happy enough that next time I will learn his name properly. I apologize, Brian. Anywho, he was such a big part for us on our defensive side, because he gave us the field position for our offensive line to pin their ears back and just go after the quarterback, because you know it was an obvious running play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he's unquestionably the special teams MVP.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I wasn't, I mean, the other,
I can't
the other
say one would have Shepard.
I was going to say,
Russell,
yeah, Shepard or,
good, yeah.
Or that, what, who's the fucking guy we signed?
Ryan
that went to
Smith,
UCF,
right?
Corner?
Or,
no, that's the guy we drafted. There was another one. Anyway.
Yeah.
Don't you sure. say Huff.
No. Josh Huff.
Josh Huff.
Fuck out of here.
Do you want to do the most? Do you want to do the most disappointing on each side of the ball? How about that?
Yeah, let's do that. Kyle.
Yeah, my my most disappointing on the offensive side of the ball is, of course, J.R. Sweezy, who is making either the second or third most of any player on the Buccaneers. I'm not quite sure, but he's top five as far as a salary on the Buccaneers. Didn't play a goddamn snap of offense, and
go ahead, Kyle.
No, I'm just saying for how hyped I was for him before the season. You can listen to this podcast. I mean, I watched film on him. I was like, fuck yeah, dude, this is the guy. Nothing. So, like, why didn't we know that going into it? Number two, why wasn't it more transparent? What were these setbacks that he was having?
It's his back, man. Frustrating. Back injuries are nothing to fuck with.
You're right, yeah. So
That shit paralyzes you almost if it's bad enough.
It does.
Like, trust me, from somebody who has a dad who has major back problems, you can't do shit.
Is he a tall guy?
No, he's a shorter guy.
Oh,
actually.
Is he? Yeah.
But still, I mean, it's bad. And so I don't know his situation. Obviously, none of us do. But the way that Coach Cutter talked about him in the final press conference didn't seem too optimistic that he's ever going to play.
Great. I mean, right. This guy just took money and...
he wasn't like, oh, yeah, for sure, he'll be back 100% next year. It's like, we'll see. We don't know. And, it's been a full year since that surgery. And if you're still going, we'll see, it's probably not a good thing.
Yeah, no, you're
not
right.
A full year. It's been... I don't want to say it's been a full year. I think he had that surgery pretty.
Why couldn't he have gotten MRSA?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Nick, just shut up. Give us your most disappointing. Holy shit. Holy shit.
Well, I'm just saying, if he's going to be useless.
I guess.
My most or least, what are we calling it?
What would we call it? Like, if what's the opposite of MVP? It would be like
valuable player.
MDP, most disappointing player.
Okay, my MDP is Donovan Smith. Yeah. He is by far the definition of regression. He had such an optimistic outlook last year, and this dude just comes in and just chokes on all the dicks Kyle went after.
All of the dicks.
97. He got beat by everybody who was quick. He got overpowered by everybody who was strong. It's like he wasn't good at anything.
Donovan Smith played every offensive snap for the Buccaneers, and he was the lowest graded offensive lineman on Pro Football Focus. Take that as you will, because Focus is what it is.
Exactly. But, you know, when I think every year to year about, last year it was DeMar Dotson when it comes to penalties that cost us really big plays. And this year it was Donovan Smith.
Yeah.
Donovan Smith, I heard his name way too often when we saw the camera. It was pan back, long pass, and complete. First down for the Bucks. Oh, we got some laundry on the field. It's like, fuck you, Donovan Smith.
Yeah.
Well, it could not have been J.R. Sweezy with the flag.
That's true, yeah. So, I mean, Nick may have the more disappointing player than I do.
My most disappointing player, and this comes from, I guess, a personal place. Not a personal place, but from a place of someone who loved the guy while he was healthy, is Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, oh, dude.
I really thought we were going to get one more good year out of him, and then he would ride off into the sunset. So this is not so much disappointing as for me as a fan, but I feel disappointed for him as a person and a player.
As a professional, I have a lot of sadness for him.
That's not the way I wanted to see him go out in Tampa. As many shit teams as he signed up for when he signed that contract and was just a consistent performer on a lot of bad teams with a weird quarterback situations and all that, he only gets 1 year of a real quarterback. And then comes back in the second year, and I get what he played, one game before he got injured or something like that?
A couple games, yeah. Dude, just yeah, shit, that does
shitty,
suck.
Shitty all around.
He's such a good guy. Like he's our nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, and I listened to Mike Evans, his radio show on 620 whenever he's on the radio show, and he talks about like the recovery efforts that Vincent Jackson puts into his training and his off-season regimen, and just in general, like the what he goes through to try to recover. Like it just, I know he hates being off the field right now. And I just wonder what's going through his mind as far as like, is he going to play next
year?
He'll
get a shot somewhere.
Yeah.
He'll play for Cleveland or LA or some crappy team that doesn't need.
Actually, I think a contender that needs a receiver like the Patriots or someone like that would look at him.
That's who my other guy was going to allude to because they can make everybody work.
Well, I mean, it's not so much his, it's not so much like the team. He needs to go to a good team. It's more of like, does he have anything left in the tank?
Exactly. Can he stay healthy? Can he do it?
Yeah, it's more that than because when the guy's healthy, there's no questioning his talent. But he's older now, and he's got injuries, and so he's definitely taken a step back from what he was when he first got here. We saw a little bit of that last year too. Don't forget, we saw the signs of it, but you didn't want to believe it. But
yeah.
So that's my most disappointing player, and that doesn't come from a place of anger. It comes from more of a place of sadness.
Sadness, yeah. Well, I guess that
doesn't make it any less disappointing. But yeah, you're right.
That would turn us to the defensive side of the ball, and
oh boy,
I mean there was a lot to like, there was a lot to hate this year as far as disappointing players. I would have to say that my most disappointing player on the defensive side of the ball would have to be Brandon McDougal. I mean, early in the season, like him and Chris Conte were just a recipe for disaster. When it came to deep balls and when it came to helping out our cornerbacks, like, you were almost sure to see the back of their jerseys at least once a game. So, I'd have to go with Scottish Thunder as my most disappointing player on defense.
Nick?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of them, and I can't because I can't say Chris Conte. Let me walk you through him. I can't say Chris Conte because he wouldn't be there disappointing because he had ups and downs. Doesn't make him disappointing.
He was pretty fucking terrible for a lot of games.
He was. You're right. But we expected that out of him. It's not really a disappointment when you expect it out of the player. You know what I mean?
That's true.
This might sound a bit of a reach because it's going to sound like I'm picking on a rookie, but Hargraves.
Oh,
it's not a reach because that's what I was going to say.
Oh,
OK. All right.
Duel.
He showed promise in the beginning and then he got torched and then he showed a little promise. Then he got torched and then he got torched some more. And then they figured him out and then he got torched a lot. And
well, I think you're reaching. I think he was up and down. I don't want to say that he was just consistently torched week in and week out. And I'm not trying.
No, but in my opinion, it was because he. I'm just gonna say they got tape on him. It's just like any other, like in baseball mainly. But you know, when they figure out they got book on a pitcher, his ERA goes up. Well, they figured out his moves.
Look,
I think there's a disconnect here between me and you, Nick, because I didn't see that. What I saw was him suffering from bad safety play in the middle of the season, just no help over the top with Conte. But Cooper burned him in that Raiders game for sure. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, he did get burned, but I didn't see a consistent downhill slope. I saw him come back up in some games and have good games and lock down his side of the field, and you didn't hear his name. And in other games, he had bad games. And I think you can expect that from a rookie. The reason I'm disappointed in him is because I expected more from him. As much as they talked about how good of a draft prospect he is and what I watched at Florida, I expected more from him. Maybe that was unfair because he's a rookie corner and I should have expected the ups and downs. Like Kyle always brings it up all the time about Rondae Barber, what he was called in his rookie year.
He was called Toast. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a lot of faith in Vern for obvious reasons. I think he's going to come back next year and be strong. and look better. And I think his play improved when the safety play improved, which I think you can say for a lot of corners. So, yeah, but I'm still disappointed in him because, like I said, I expected more from
him. Yeah, that's understandable. And I think
you know what, it's really hard to find players on this defense that I was really disappointed with.
Yeah, you're right, genuinely, you're right. Yeah. It was a stretch.
Yeah, because I was like thinking the levels of this defense. So I'm like, the line, well, I mean, the line was pretty good, and like the linebackers were good, like, and this the corners were okay. There were some bad games for the corners, and the safeties were bad. But I didn't want to say Conte because I felt like that was a cop out. Everybody hates that guy.
But he still had shining moments this year too.
Yeah, to pick six.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. There's nothing damning.
No. Yeah. I don't think we even need to do special teams. We all know who is the most disappointing.
Actually, he was going to be, if we were going to do an all out disappointment, he was going to be my number one.
He'd be very close for me as my all out most, what do we call it? MDP. Most disappointing player. Yeah.
MVP.
Thank God we're bringing in somebody to compete with him next year. And I don't think he's going to be on the team next year.
You know, I really thought, and I don't know why I thought this, because Coder's usually a pretty straight shooter with press conferences, but I thought he was bullshitting when he said that.
Think so?
I really did. I thought that was like one of those like tactics just to drive him to get better. Like, oh yeah, we might bring in some competition. No, he really fucking did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they signed a future guy. And that just goes, that just tells me a lot of what they think of Roberto Aguayo right now, because that, I think that guy mentally is fucking fried.
Yep.
To be quite honest with you.
I'm sorry.
I forgot who brought up the stat, but I don't think he made a kick. They said it's like he didn't make a kick over 43.
You're exactly right. His longest kick was 43.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
And
that's bad.
Totally unacceptable for an NFL kicker. Totally unacceptable.
Like anything, all right, let's go through 20 yards. You should make 100% of those. 30 yards, like, I don't know, like what, 95?
Right, yeah. No, 98, 99.
98.
You're allowed to miss maybe two.
40, 95. 45, okay.
Yeah.
From 40 to 50 yards, we'll go all the way to 49. What would you say? Like 90, like 90, 85%?
85?
85 to 95%. I'd say like 85%. Like, I think you're being a little too generous. 50, it starts getting real squirrely.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Anything over
45 gets squirrely.
Anything over 50 is, you have to be a pretty elite kicker to
make
this consistently. Mm-hmm. The dude's not even making things over 43.
Right.
And we drafted him in the second fucking round.
Even in college, that was his thing, though. He couldn't make them over 40. His percentages went way down. So.
Okay, that's fine. Like he was making, but he wasn't making all his kicks from inside 43 anyway in the pros as he was doing in college.
This was a mistake.
So even that like shining beacon of trying to justify this fucking pick was, oh, he's so good from in close. And he wasn't.
Yeah, he wasn't. He's not, you know.
So
this guy is literally the definition of a bill of goods that was not delivered upon.
So he's not making them from distance, and he's very, I mean, he's kind of inconsistently making them from in short.
Yeah.
You bring in competition.
That's a guy who would be cut if he was like if he was a fifth year kicker or something.
A regular kicker?
Yeah. I just
kicker first round, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, just get it out of the way. Get the kicker in here. No, it's I'm so glad that they're bringing in another kicker because like you said before, like mentally what this is going to break him. He's not going to be able to compete for his job because he can't compete.
That's what I was going to say.
He can't compete regularly.
Yeah, but he had no competition. It was terrible.
He can't compete,
this is probably their test for him.
Yeah,
saying there's gonna be another kicker kicking with you in practice, and if he outkicks you in the preseason, you're gone.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sure they're not gonna say that to him, but I'm sure he knows that, and it's like, yeah. So we're gonna see how really mentally tough you are.
That's exactly what I see happening too. I see him just crumbling. I'm sorry, and I'll eat my words. Oh no, I was wrong about a kicker, but I see him crumbling. So
you won't have to eat your words.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty obvious at this
point. He's not gonna come in next season and start hitting them from fucking 45 consistently.
He might do it in practice.
Yeah.
And swindle us again.
Yeah, because nobody's watching him.
Swindle
practice.
Us.
Yeah.
I love you know that. What he reminds me of? That the invisible boy from Mystery Men, played by
Cal
Mitchell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
don't look at me and I can do everything awesome.
Exactly. All right, well, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll do best moment.
Talk about the draft a little bit.
We'll talk a little bit draft. We'll do best moment, we'll do worst moment, we'll do best game, we'll do worst game. We'll go over our preseason predictions. I don't know if you guys have your I have some preseason predictions, so I can kind of cover for you guys, but we'll go over some of those moments in the second half of the podcast, and yeah, that'll be it. So let's take a quick break. Okay. We are back.
Ooh, we are
back to the show. We can do best moment, best game, worst game. We can go over our preseason predictions. I know that Nick, Katie, and I, and Anthony as well, all predicted the Bucks to go 9-7 by way of coin flip. So,
oh yes,
we perfectly predicted. Let's go over this one real quick. Does anyone have the schedule up?
Buccaneers. I do.
You do? Okay.
I do.
All right. So,
I think we should all do that.
Yeah,
that's a thing. All right. So I got week one.
Week one against Atlanta. We all collectively picked that for a win.
And we got it right.
Week two against Arizona. Correct?
I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Nick, what was the result?
40-7, a loss.
We picked that as a loss. There you go.
All right, two for two.
Next week, LA.
37-32, a loss.
We picked that as a win.
It should have been a win.
Should have been a win.
Mustache fuck.
Damn, LA.
We'll get back to that game shortly here. The next week, Denver Broncos. Everybody picked that as a
27,
loss.
Everybody picked that as a loss, right?
Yep.
It
was a loss.
And we had our Monday night football game. Dun, 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 dun. We won that game.
We won it. Everybody picked it as a loss, though.
I think everybody predicted the Panthers to be much better than they were.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, who would have thought Panthers last place in the division? That was supposed to be us. Suckers. Yep.
Fuck you, Carolina.
Oh, wait, was it Carolina or was it New Orleans?
What?
Last?
I don't know.
I don't care. Who cares?
Anyways, yeah.
Well put, Anthony. Well put.
Next week,
if
Oakland.
You're not first, you're last.
Or San Francisco wins across the board. We, of course, won that.
I'm glad who said, one of us said that was going to be loss, I think. I can't remember who.
Well, I don't know. I have my original picks. I have the picks that the three or the four of us did,
It doesn't matter. Yeah. But I just seem to remember somebody saying that.
I don't have your two picks.
Yeah, I don't have my picks.
Go listen to the last. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah.
Do it.
We want it. We want it. We got it right.
Then the Raiders.
We did a thing.
The Oakland Football Raiders are in town, and
soon to be Vegas,
soon to be San Diego. Or apparently San Diego is like in some kind of talks to go to.
So they're going to lose the Chargers but gain the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's stupid. All those in California. Anyways.
That's like going out into your neighborhood and being like, "I'm unhappy with my marriage. Give me your wife. We'll trade."
Yeah, it's like it's. It's like you're all in the same. I don't know. Anyway, we won that game. Or we lost it. We lost it to Derek Carr.
I was about to say we lost that game.
Yeah. The most penalized game in history. We lost. The next week, of course, Atlanta, we all had as a win.
Yep, at home on prime time. We should have known better.
Well, hold on, hold on. I had it as a win. Somebody else had it as a win. Katie, Nick, Anthony, and I all had it as a loss. So,
wait. Who's the mystery fifth person?
It was another podcast. It was that other podcast I did.
Oh, okay.
He was a Falcons fan. The Falcons fan called the Falcons to go 7-9. So it's pretty
fuck that guy.
I know, called us to go 7-9. So. So still fuck that guy.
Idiot.
Yeah. Anyways, we correctly predicted that as a group as a loss. Next week against Chicago, we predicted as a W. Kansas City, we predicted as a loss. We, of course, won that game.
Yep.
To start the second game of the historic win streak. Seattle, the next game, we all picked that as a loss. We, of course, won that. San Diego, we all picked it as a win. We won that. New Orleans, we predicted as a win. We won that as well. Dallas, we all predicted as a win. We lost that barely.
Silly fuckers.
We barely lost that. New Orleans, we all predicted as a loss. We predicted that correctly. And then finally, Carolina, we predicted to sweep. Or we predicted a win, rather, and we won that game. So
we did that.
We weren't too far off. There was a couple
there
games.
There goes 9-7.
Yeah, a couple games here and there we were off. But I think we predicted the 9-7 by way of coin flip.
Themselves out. Yeah.
By way of sucking 1,000 dicks, we made 9-7. So you are welcome, Bucks Nation. For that.
That's why his nose is all stuffy.
That's why my nose is all stuffy, because it's full of semen. I drank all of it up.
Oh, God.
That's what I do.
I think we've peaked as a podcast.
We've said that so many times.
Oh, boy. Okay. Moments. You guys want to go into... best and worst moments of the.
Here's the thing with moments. I can't think of those off the top of my head.
I got one.
I have one.
Got one, and it's real.
Oh,
easy.
Well, I guess I'm just the dumb one on the podcast.
Well, good thing you're going last. Give you enough time to look for it.
You know, there's a lot of great moments to choose from this season. You can go with the last game where we defended the 2-point conversion, but I'm going to go with something that's special in my heart. Because Nick, Anthony, and I were all watching the game together for the first time, and the Tandy Man had just picked off Drew Brees for the win to seal our fourth or fifth consecutive win in a row.
That was four.
Four? Number four in a row. We picked off Mr. Drew Brees. No, that was five. That was for number five. We picked off Mr. Drew Brees, and I jumped in my parents' pool for that, and that was probably the highlight of this season, as did Nick, and that was my favorite moment, best moment of the season for me is Keith Tandy's interception of Drew Brees to seal the win against the Saints.
See, Kyle's is very, very, like, I dare say almost romantic, because it has friends involved, and it was so cool that he got to capitalize and be social. Mine was a little more greedy. Mine was the Bears game in November. So it was during my and my wife's one-year anniversary, so we were at a Hyatt resort in Orlando, and I got to be by the pool with a bunch of big flat screens, and I think I had probably six or seven Bloody Marys, and it was one of the best days, because the 2 days or 3 days before that, we recorded a podcast where I had my bold prediction, and I called.
That's right.
Jay Cutler with four turnovers, and I hit it nail on the head, and the Bucks won that game, so that was my favorite moment this season. I got to call it, and you should have heard me at this bar. These people must have thought I was crazy. Like, I got a podcast and I called this.
I have over 100 listeners on my podcast.
Tens of people think I'm important.
Is that going to be the new I have a blog, I have a podcast?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Everybody's got a fucking podcast these days. So, yeah, it's already been the new I have a blog. Anthony, do you have one?
I do actually have a moment. And I can't believe...
Yeah, we stalled long enough.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but... the game-winning kick on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that was actually a big moment.
Yeah. As disappointing as Avocado was this year.
Avocado? That's your name for him?
In Spanish, it's aguacate.
Ricky Avocado.
I think that was a big turning point for our season, was that win on Monday night.
I'll even say that was a big game for him. That's when he, like...
Oh.
He looks like an NFL
against
kicker.
The Bucks killer Derek Anderson.
Yes,
you know, to finally get over that hump. You know, now we're just one fucking step away from the Super Bowl now. It was a big moment and it felt good, and especially because he had such a shit night that night outside of that kick, and I had to eat all my fucking words on Twitter. But still, I enjoyed that, and I think it was our first primetime win for what felt like forever. So,
yeah. That was pretty huge.
It was a good moment.
Well, you can't have your yin without your yang. You can't have you can't have your yams without your marshmallows. You can't have potato salad without mustard and mayonnaise. So
where are you going with this?
I don't fucking know. I was trying to think of things. We got to go to the worst moments of the year. I've got mine already like preloaded, and
yep, I had mine as soon as you said worst.
That my worst moment of the year has got to be the possession against the Dallas Cowboys, where Jameis Winston got the ball back with, what was it? I think it was like 2 minutes left or something. I mean, he you know, it's like the picture perfect moment. You get the ball back, 2 minutes left on the clock, you got X amount of timeouts, you're ready to drive down the field. This is where quarterbacks' names are made.
And can I interject real quick, Kyle?
Sure, sorry
to interrupt you. I just remember turning to my dad during this moment and going, this is his moment.
Yeah.
This is when it happens.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sunday Night Football, Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth against the Dallas fucking Cowboys, the largest viewing audience you probably had in your entire football career, save for the college national championship. And it doesn't pan out. Gosner Sherless is hurt, and he gets sacked three times. We end up going 3 and out on that possession. And that's when I was like, we are not ready for prime time. We are not going to be any kind of playoff team this year. Like that was the stone cold reality of the goddamn season. And one drive was when we could not move the ball against the Dallas Cowboys with 2 minutes left and our franchise quarter with the ball in our franchise quarterback's hands. Like that moment for me was like, well, we're just not there yet, guys. We're just not there yet.
I don't know if that was the we're not there yet moment for me, but it was definitely one of those like, well, even if we get
reality check,
what are we going to do? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Reality came calling on that one. Like, hey, mm-hmm. hey, you're still not there.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Maybe it's kind of like a kick, like, fucking get that thing. Get back down there to Tampa, you piece of shit. Like, yep. That's what that was.
Oh, you're gonna flex us? Right, yeah, fucking fuck you.
Welcome to Dallas, bitch.
Enjoy your night, Tampa.
We had five games in a row.
Before I bring this up, guys, I want you all to remove all sharp objects from your vicinity, because this one really smarts, because in true Bucks fashion, we lost this game. My moment occurred at 1:48 in overtime of the Oakland Tampa Bay game.
Shit. He's got the receipts.
Well, just like Oakland fashion that game, they had just been called for holding. It was another penalty on an already record-setting game that Oakland had committed the most penalties in NFL history. And in true Bucks fashion, because it just knocked them out of field goal range, what do? They allow a pass over the middle that gets poorly tackled and goes in for a touchdown. And
yeah,
it's just like the whole aspect of it was so Bucks. So please just give me a moment here and we'll listen in on. And all Bucks fans here smiled because, ha, they got another penalty. We're going to get out of it yet.
Nope.
Nope.
DPI.
So there's the record. Illegal block in the back. Offense number 10. 10-yard penalty. Third down.
Wait, what? Oh, this is it.
Here it is. This is this.
Oh, that's right.
That is where my heart broke, because that was the proof that not that the Bucks weren't going to make the playoffs, because I didn't know it at that point in time, but I knew that we weren't Magic.
Yeah.
You know, I knew it wasn't to be that destined team that nothing could stop us, because unfortunately for Derek Carr and his leg, Oakland's that team this year.
Apparently nothing could stop Derek Carr is how that went.
Well, I mean, something can stop Derek Carr.
Oh, anyways.
Yeah, compound pressure.
Anthony, let's go with your worst moment of the year.
My worst moment, and this partly has to do with the Twitter reaction afterwards, was the final play against the Rams. When Jameis rolled out, and it looked like from everybody's point of view that he could have at least had a chance at running it in.
Oh, totally.
But he didn't even throw it or run it. He just took a sack.
He did nothing. He ate it.
That sparked, I think, a debate that went on for maybe the rest of that week of whose fault it was in that game. And like, and I think me and Kyle were on the side of like, he's got to come through in that moment. Like, that's why we drafted him, and everybody else is blaming the whole rest of the game for, you know, and it's not his fault and blah, blah, blah. That was just a horrible week.
Yeah.
To be a Bucks fan. It really was. And
that was an embarrassing
as much week. As much as I think Winston is how good he is and how good he can be. And how much I think we do need to get, you know, pieces around him and all that. You got to come through, man.
Here you go, Anthony. And you ready for this?
And it's disappointing. It's disappointing when it doesn't happen. And to be honest with you, I don't think it's really happened yet.
Let's listen.
That's Evans. And this is it. Winston is going to go down, and the game is over. This is a relief for this guy right here, Jeff Fisher.
Pretty much sums it up, doesn't it?
I mean, did you hear the crowd?
Yep.
Yeah.
They're in that.
Died immediately.
They were just like, what the, like, everybody had the same reaction, like, what the fuck just happened? Like, what? You got to give somebody a chance on that last play.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw a little bit last year with Jameis Winston. He had some last minute heroics, but this year they've been few and far between for young Jameis. So yeah, that's
And it really stings the most, because as we mentioned, that kept us out of the playoffs, man.
Yeah,
it's about that game. We have that game, and we make the playoffs.
If you would have just tucked and run, but hey,
we didn't have that game.
Hey, I've seen that fucking play CSI'd so many times. There were defenders downfield. I want to tackle them. But yeah, because, you know, Jameis. Because Jameis, if there's one thing we know about Jameis Winston, he has zero escapability. You know, he can't shed.
There's no leadness when it comes to fleet of foot.
Yeah, so. and he can't shed tackles, and, you know, he has none of that ability.
He just falls difficultly.
Oh, boy. Yeah. He should have. I don't know what he was doing on that play. God, that is a terrible moment.
You sound like Berman, who's just having an existential crisis.
Shit.
Like, I don't know what they were looking at.
God, I'm just never funny.
Oh, God.
He's sometimes funny.
No, he's never. Stop. Stop immediately.
Best game, Kansas City Chiefs. I don't have to go into it. It was an awesome game. We fucking beat them in their own house. They Seminole chopped. Jameis Winston was powered up. I was drunk.
That was the funniest highlight.
I Ubered over to Nick's house and drank an entire six pack and ate steak. It was a fucking great game for me. That was
good steak.
Yeah. So that's my best game of the year.
All right. Mine happened to be, I'll say this one, it wasn't the prettiest game for the Bucks, but it was the victory against Seattle. And
yeah,
that was really cool seeing what everybody touted as, I mean, come on guys, how many times were you told in the beginning of that week that Seattle's the cream of the crop of the NFC?
Dude, so Jonathan, who's like the third co-host on the show, he was saying he was in the parking lot before the game. And
what's the third?
And he was saying before the game even started that like Seahawks fans were acting like that was a foregone conclusion that they were going to win that game. So yeah, that was a fucking tremendous win.
I dealt with a lot of cocky Seattle fans that day, so that's why probably it has to do with my favorite moment, because it was just a show for our defense. I mean, let's just be honest. You hold a team like that to 5 points. They had something like five. Hold on, let's see. Russell Wilson's line read as 17 for 33, 151 yards, no touchdowns, and two picks. Terrible.
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 Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Honestly, I'm looking at a lot of the stats. The only person we had stopped was their fucking field goal kicker. He was 1 for 1.
Yeah. Anthony,
Nick, why don't you use your psychic powers to tell me what my best game of the season was?
Oh, yes. I'm sensing a West Coast team. Something tells me bolo ties, powdered blue. Am I on the right track?
Yes, you are. This is amazing, folks. This is true.
I'm going to go with the San Diego Chargers.
Yep. That's my best game of the season. In terms of enjoyability to watch, that was definitely the best. In terms of that game sealing pick. And that was definitely a trap game, one that we probably, you know, I felt like we were going to drop that we shouldn't have, but we came through and we won it. And that's always a good thing to see for a young team.
It was a confidence boost at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys took the two best ones anyway. So I was like,
I know. Yeah. yeah. worst game, I think this might be a unanimous decision, but I'm going to go with that Thursday night football game against Atlanta where they just completely destroyed us in front of a national
audience. Not only was that a bad showing for the Bucks as a showing for what we could potentially be, but that was just a continuation of a shit show that is Thursday night football.
Okay, I get the bads about this game, obviously, but don't you know the season kind of turned after that? Maybe it sparked us a little bit. Like, hey, we got to get our shit together.
It did.
And well, Matt, it definitely was a gut check.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan is in.
I don't know.
In conversations for being the league MVP. So I mean, that's what a league MVP should do to you on if you're having an off night. So. Maybe, but still, it was just, I'm tired of seeing that fucking game. I'm tired of that game happening because I've seen it the last 3 years. I'm so fucking tired of that fucking primetime blowout or just, you know, what have you, mm-hmm. whether it be the Ravens or the Falcons or the Panthers or whoever, fucking tired of that game. So yeah, that was the worst game of the year for me.
My second pick for worst game of the year was week 16 against the Saints. We had a chance. We had a big chance to help control our own future, and we just couldn't get it done.
You're right. Fuckers, man. You always leave me out in the cold. I was going to say the Saints game. Now I have nothing. Just the Rams game. Fuck the Rams game. We've already said it enough.
The Rams game was terrible, though, guys, because
it was terrible.
That was like clearly a bad team that we could have beat and should have beat and didn't.
They had fucking Case Keenum at quarterback.
Yeah. Yep.
Case Keenum. What's that guy done?
Beat us.
Yeah. Every backup does. Yep. But anyway, So that, yeah, that's the worst game of the season. Damn it.
Yeah, I totally agree. With all your points. I wasn't listening. Gotta send that tweet, baby. What do we have left here?
I've got one question. At the end of the year, what does everybody here see as the most glaring need?
Oh, good. Good.
Dick's out for Dalvin.
Dick's out for Dalvin. We got to go. Thank you. Thank you, Anthony. We got to go out there. Any cost, any means necessary. I don't care who we have to trade. Gerald McCoy. We're going to trade.
More future first rounders.
We're going to trade Gerald McCoy to Cleveland. Okay. Do you think Cleveland will accept the trade for Gerald McCoy?
100%.
Our first round pick.
All you got to tell them is that we're Noel fans, and they'll just. We got this.
We
got
to go dicks out for Dalvin.
You guys, this is silly. You're being silly.
We got to go dicks out for Dalvin.
Dicks out for Dalvin. 100%. Biggest need this offseason. Dalvin Cook. Not even a running back. We just need Dalvin Cook. We don't. If you draft another running back, it's not a need anymore.
Okay, so are you both going with running back?
No.
No, I'm going to go. Actually, I would go with wide receiver. I think we really need somebody there.
Fuck.
Whether it be through free agency, whether it be through the draft, I think Mike Evans, Adam Humphries, and
Shepard maybe.
We need
Cameron Bright, tight end. We need
a speed guy to like stretch the field. Like we need somebody that's gonna keep
Dalvin Cook can do that for us.
Dalvin Cook can do that,
he's improved his receiving game this year. If you didn't know,
well, hang on. In all seriousness, we haven't talked about the whole Doug Martin situation, and maybe we'll do that next podcast. Maybe we won't. There may be a legitimate need for a running back, especially if the Bucs do decide to part ways with Doug Martin. So.
Does it need to be in the first round?
No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think I think we're okay with second, third, maybe even fourth round running backs, especially with a draft that's this deep.
Shit, we wasted it on a kicker last year. I'm sure we can waste the second round on a running back.
You don't want to be a fucking Minnesota. Like that's who a Dalvin Cook goes to, or Leonard Fournette goes to. They go to like the fucking Browns, and like they are the bell cow for the Browns through every shitty quarterback.
They have a 3-year career than a thought.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's, no line.
You don't want to be that fucking team. You want to be the team that has Jameis Winston and you build around that guy. You're not going to build around fucking Dalvin Cook.
You know when you draft a running back high in the first round, when you have a situation like the Dallas fucking Cowboys.
Exactly.
That's when you draft that elite running back to run behind that elite offensive line.
Right. Exactly.
You're going to draft Dalvin Cook and what? And you're going to draft him in the first round. What? He's going to run into the fucking. I mean, yeah, he's going to break off some runs because he's just that good.
Rookie and he's going to get swallowed up by a few.
But he's going to get fucking hammered with this offensive line. And then what? Oh, fucking. Well, yeah, 3 years from now, you're going to be, oh, we should have fucking taken this guy.
I'm glad you brought that up because my glaring need is left tackle. We need a left tackle that can come in and A, stop getting penalties, B, keep our quarterback off his ass. And see, maybe throw in some run blocks. I don't know, but Smith has done none of those things this year. He regressed to a point where if we're already looking at replacing Aguayo because of his needs, we're going to be looking for a left tackle. It's the most important position on a offense, or actually the most important position on an offense second to the quarterback.
Right.
And we don't have a good one. We don't. Matter of fact, we have the worst one, as Kyle alluded to earlier.
Yeah.
I want to make something perfectly clear. I know how good Dalvin Cook is. You do not have to prove it to me on Twitter. You don't have to prove it to me on any form of social media. I know how good he is. Okay. He's not a need right now, in my opinion, and we're not in a place as a team to draft a running back in the high in the first round. We're just not.
I think exactly. I think look, I'll be perfectly happy if we draft Dalvin Cook, but I just really don't see it
because
we're not that team. We're really not that team right now. Like we're not the team that needs to draft that kind of bell cow back Like, do you want to be Minnesota for the next 10 years? Do you want to be fucking San Francisco?
7-9 with Adrian Peterson running for 2,000 yards.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yes. Is he an elite talent for all intents and purposes? He does look like that, but
yeah, he is. He's really fucking good, and he carried Florida State for these last 2 years, and that's how good he is. And I get it. I get the hype. I get why people want that. You know what else would be cool? A really good number two wide receiver.
Or
also be really cool.
Another good defensive tackle. Look at how old our defensive tackles are. We have old defensive tackles. We could stand to use a safety, maybe even a line. You know, this is we have the luxury this offseason. We're just filling holes, guys, and that's such a great thing to talk about. It's true.
These are rich people problems.
Exactly. We have to fill holes here, and that is a very good thing. You know, we know where our weaknesses lie. We know what we need to do to address them. And oh boy, I'll
say this, because the Bucs have a lot of money in free agency this offseason. If they go out and confidently. And so I have confidence in it because their moves have not been the best in free agency. If they fill a bunch of holes before the draft, they get a number two wide receiver like DeSean Jackson or someone like that, and they fill all those gaps that we need. And then if you feel comfortable enough to take Dalvin Cook in the first round, fine. But as it stands right now, we're not in a position to do that. I don't think.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree also. Yeah. Sorry. Also not paying attention. Podcast.
Whiskey drunk Kyle.
So
drunk Kyle. It's
what else do you want to cover about the Bucks?
Do we want to touch on Doug Martin and how much of a dick face Steve Dumig is?
What does Steve Dumig do?
No, because he's always a dick face.
Why is he? Yeah. Is he being an asshole to Doug Martin?
What do you think he's saying about Doug Martin?
God damn it, everybody! Can we calm the fuck down? They all cheat. All of those players that you love and that you grew up watching.
No. You commented on Twitter.
Oh, the Mollies. He's doing
him like. Yeah, about like saying all this shit about him in bars and all kinds of shit.
To the Mollies.
He just pulled a word of the bed, talked out of his ass.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Show.
You know who calls Molly Mollies? Someone who's never fucking done Molly. Bro, no, he's not addicted to Molly, okay? He's not at all addicted.
I don't know. I've had 28 marijuanas in my life.
Damn, my legs fell off because of it.
I have no doubt that
don't
Doug Martin.
Drugs, kids.
Doug Martin probably did Molly, but you know what? Who gives a fuck? Who cares? Like, can he run the football for us? Yeah, great, awesome. And he did what was his? What did he get popped for?
Adderall.
Adderall. Oh, Adderall.
I think.
Who cares?
There was, like a bunch of conflicting reports about that.
Fucking get back! Shut up! Shut the fuck up! In Molly's, like he's addicted to the Molly's. Good. I'm glad he opened his mind and he had a fucking good time. For fuck's sake,
I'm happy about it.
Doug Martin's in his fucking 20s. He should do Molly. He should do Molly and he should do fucking cocaine. I hope he does acid and mushrooms man. Whoa, he's 20. Whoa, you're only gonna be 20 once in your fucking life. So you might as well do it all, man. Fuck all the bitches that you can. Spend all the fucking money that you can. Buy a fucking Ferrari. Run it off the fucking side of a cliff. Who fucking cares, man? You're a millionaire. You're 20. You're young. Do it all, man. Who cares? And give me some fantasy points next year, please.
Jesus.
The Wolf of Wall Street just checked in. The puck. Jesus Christ, Kyle.
Dude,
this is not the direction I wanted to go with this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We have quite a few young listeners, I'm sure, out there in Tampa Bay sports land.
Where were we going with this?
I don't know anymore, to be honest with you. Look, I guess in our Ferrari off a cliff. I don't know.
All I'm saying is that I just turned 30, and oh yeah, you're not that young. Fuck you.
He's old.
I'm an old man now.
God, you're old.
Now I'm an old fucking man, and one thing I'm starting to realize is that it's fucking light. Like it's all finite. Life is finite, and just enjoy the time that you have here on this earth. If Doug Martin wants to take Adderall and play football, then he should be able to take Adderall and play fucking football for fuck's sakes. Like,
yeah.
what's wrong? What's wrong? Why? What are we talking about? Adderall? Who cares? Who cares? Let him play fucking football. It's what he loves to do. He spent his whole fucking adolescence in his high school career doing that. He takes some fucking Adderall because he wants to be the best goddamn player he can be. And suddenly I hate these drug charges that players get suspended for. It's so stupid to me. Just fucking play football.
You know, I think I heard right, and I wasn't aware of this until recently, but I'm pretty sure the NHL actually doesn't test for marijuana.
Yeah, neither does the NBA.
Yeah.
No, I take it back. So this is it. NBA does not check for marijuana. NHL does check for marijuana, but does not punish for it.
Right. That's what I meant. Yeah. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. You're noted. You're put on a list. And if you get, you know, the only difference is in the NHL, if you are, if you do get popped for a substance abuse charge within something else in the NHL and you also have a positive charge for marijuana, they kind of take it as you are an offender of the repeat nature.
Yeah. Kyle, I think there's some things we may differ on with the drug testing. I do think if a guy gets fucking caught for like heroin or some shit, like, you should probably do something about
that. That's a problem. Like, that guy's health sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they can just be like, let him do all the drugs. You know, that's probably not a good idea. But
look,
yeah,
man, is he scoring 20 goals a year? Is he scoring 20 goals a year? Then fuck yeah, let him do all the heroin he wants to do. Okay?
Let's see. But I think we're kind of downplaying Adderall as can be a really bad drug for somebody.
You might be right.
Use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That is fair enough. Okay.
I just want to
give a fuck him
before Kyle. Yeah. Before him for get fantasy points.
He did write that letter, and I guess that, you know, maybe he feels he does have a problem. So.
I mean, yeah. If he does have a problem, he should go get help. Like, yeah. it's not but I do agree with you in some facets that the drug testing in NHL in the NFL is really fucked up, especially for weed.
It's a witch hunt.
Across the board, I think. NHL, yeah. NBA.
You can't expect these guys that make millions of dollars to fucking, you know, just be clean, you know, clean model citizens their entire career.
Right. They're competitors. They're going to do anything they can do to compete and be better than the next guy because that's just what they were raised to do.
We've had the steroid discussion.
We've done this
before.
On the show. Yeah, I don't need to get into that before. I hope Doug Martin is back next year. If he's not, I understand why. If he is, I'll be happy. But I certainly don't think that the Bucks need to go trading up into the first round to go get Leonard Fournette or Dalvin Cook, for fuck's sakes. Okay, you know, we're
not that far gone. Jeez, guys.
Yeah, we have a backfield that's competitive, and even if we don't, we could probably draft a guy who could carry the ball a few times in place of Doug Martin. So relax, you got your franchise quarterback, guys. What fucking more do you want?
The biggest domino.
Yeah. Holy shit. God damn it. Anyways.
I feel like sometimes it's just blatantly obvious that we just don't want FSU Twitter to be happy about something.
No, dude, it's just that there's a select few that just seem to value the school over everything else, and it's like fucking dude, really? Really?
I mean, I've seen tweets from those same people saying Vernon Hargreaves should never have been drafted by the Bucks and he's a bust and all kinds of shit. So, good job, guys. Way to keep your college allegiances out of it.
Look, Dalvin Cook.
I know we all struggle with that, but you're not even trying. So,
I'll be happy with it, whatever happens. If Dalvin Cook ends up being a Buccaneer, then I'm sure I won't be disappointed. So, you know, it is what it is.
You'll be disappointed with the Twitter reaction. Is what you'll be disappointed. God, that's damn. What'll make you upset. It won't be the player himself. It'll be the Twitter reaction.
Yeah, I think Anthony said it best. Then we'll have two players on offense that we can never blame for anything ever, ever. Yep. So next year, in closing for the Buccaneers, I mean, it's got to be playoffs. Playoffs are bust.
Playoffs without. I was about to say, anything but playoffs is a
disappointment. Yeah, yeah. We got to have playoffs next year. That's just how it's got to go.
12-4. No, I'm kidding.
12-4.
If that happens, I will suck 1,000 picks.
Jesus, if we go 12-4.
Our schedule is not going to be easy next
year.
I was looking at, they haven't like set dates or anything, but I was looking at the home games and the away games. I think we're going to Lambeau. Like the Patriots are coming to town. Like it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't get any easier next year. So
hey, but you got to beat the good teams. That's how you take that step forward.
Yeah.
That's how you become a great team.
Hey, I fully expect us to step forward. I think Jameis, he's shown improvement from last year to this year, and the defense has certainly improved. There's a lot to be optimistic about this team. So good shit all around.
Yeah, good return to the show. I don't want to say the form, but to the show.
Yeah. I got whiskey drunk.
See, that's why I don't want to say it, because you usually get other kinds of drunk.
Okay, we can wrap this up, Nick. I know you're itching to get to sleep right now.
I'm tired.
Nick's got to work early in the morning. I got to get up as well and make some bacon and eggs.
Mm. Yeah, I'm unemployed, so I'll be here.
Anthony's unemployed, but wish him luck. He's searching for employment. If you are a sports blog and you want to hire Anthony for money, he'll write.
I've got two great references right here
at $1,000 a word. You're welcome, Anthony. Just set that bar high.
Yeah, you gotta start going. Well,
I'm
negotiate.
Definitely not getting a job. So thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Two articles. I'm retired. Done. I'm done. Okay. Bold predictions, anybody?
The Bucks make the playoffs.
Wow, that's one that we're going to have to keep track of for about a year.
Yeah, really.
The Bucks trade down in the draft and take a kicker in the first round.
Damn.
I don't know if this is bold or not, but I'm going to say that the Houston Texans are going to defeat the Oakland Raiders in the playoffs.
Oh, with the Raiders playing the third string quarterback.
Yeah.
Bold. Caliente.
Caliente. Well, I mean, the fucking...
Dalvin, what's his name? Cook? Connor Cook is starting for the Raiders.
Yeah, not yet.
How many quarterbacks have been named... Connor Cook. I feel like there's been a lot of them.
Probably a lot.
At least one.
How many kickers have been named Connor Barth? One. His name is Connor Barth.
Barth Vader.
Barth Vader.
That's riveting to end the podcast on.
Okay. Yeah, kicker. Let's wrap the show up. Thank you everybody for listening. Check out all of our other podcasts at sharkdropper.com. And that has been Word of the Bay for this week. I'm Kyle.
I'm Nick.
I'm Anthony.
See you guys.